Morning. God is good all the time. We're on lesson number 6 of my series we got going on. I haven't talked to Tom yet, but what I'd like to do with these series is put these series onto a disc with a PowerPoint and they have it all available together. So maybe you and I can work on that, Tom, to put that the series when we're done with it. But lesson number 6, we're going to talk about prayer. How ironic to be able to talk about prayer on this Lord's Day after what we just witnessed. You know, the Lord makes things happen at the right time and the right place and puts everybody where they need to be when things occur. And that's something we need to understand. I want to talk about prayer in some aspects that maybe you haven't even really thought about this morning, about our prayer life. And hopefully you'll get some encouragement out of it and some ideas and some strength for you. But I got to start off with a story first. Now, there was this pilot who was flying up in the sky one day, and he called the radio tower, and he told the radio tower this. He says, "I am 600 miles away from the nearest airport. I am 6,000 feet in the air. I've lost all power to my engine, and I'm descending rapidly. Can you advise?" The tower says, "Repeat after me. My Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done." So often, prayer is in case of emergencies. That's when we focus on prayer, our prayer life. So often we use the Bible, and it becomes a part of our life when we're in need of something, in need of help. So often, that's what prayer life is to us. It's more there as in case I really need it. But I want us to talk about some aspect of how it's an untapped resource this morning. That untapped resource is that it's available to us anytime. But that untapped resource is, and I like how it has that little tap to it, it's like water. If you don't have it, you'll eventually die. It's that vital in your life. Prayer is that vital in your life. So I want to go and talk about different aspects of the prayer. Different things that we need to do in our prayer life. The power of persistent prayer. That one where you're praying all the time and asking for the Lord for something and you're constantly there. How effective that can be is for you as a Christian. You know, Jesus told them in Luke 18, verse 1, but Jesus told his disciples a parable showing them that they should always pray and not give up. Listen. If you would like to, turn over to Luke chapter 18. I'm going to start with verse 1, and I'm going to read this parable. In verse 1, it says this, "And he told them a parable to effect that they ought to always to pray and not lose heart. He says, in a certain city there was a judge who was neither fear of God nor respect of men. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him, saying, 'Give me justice against my adversaries.' For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continuous coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge said. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on this earth?'" We're told, if we have something on our heart that we're struggling with in our lives, that we need to go to Him on a regular basis. We need to come to Him repeatedly over that. It was just like the unjust judge who got tired of hearing it. But our God ain't getting tired of hearing it. He loves to hear from us. But He tells us, if you keep doing it and not give up, don't lose heart, it will come speedily. Maybe not at the speed that we want. There's the problem that lies in our prayer sometimes. We pray for something once or twice and we go, well, I guess I'm not going to get it. And the Lord wants to hear your heart and your voice. And He said He'll give it to you speedily. You know what? When He gives it to you, He gives it to you at the right time. That's the key. Sometimes we ask for something, it's not quite right. Not quite right time for it. But when God gives us what we need and what we want, it's at the exact right time. And that's a lot of times what we need to have an understanding on, that our prayer should be that way. It's coming. And that last part that He put in there, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on this earth? Why did He add that towards the end of this whole thing? How does that even relate? Because He's saying, trust Me. Your answers, your prayers will be answered at the right time. But so often we give up in our prayers. So often we think our time should have been days ago when it's getting ready to come. The wonderful thing about that, what we ask for is usually a whole lot more than what we're expecting. And that's why the time requires, give God, He will give it to you at the right time. But so often we lose faith. And that's why I think at this last part of that verse, will He find us being faithful to Him? Sometimes the answer is no. And that's what's best for us. God has everything that He needs and wants. So when He helps us, it's to our benefit. And we need to realize and understand that. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 tells us this. So I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. You know, when you really look into this, you first got to ask. Can't expect it. So there's got to be a reaction from you that you need to go to the Lord and ask for it. You don't go to the Lord and ask for it, it's probably never going to happen. And the other part is, if you seek, you will find. You ever lost your keys? Do they just come back into your hands when the time is ready? You got to make the effort and seek for what you're supposed to be doing. You can't be sitting waiting for an answer and saying, set the Bible there and say, all right, Lord, give me what I need. It doesn't work that way. It takes effort on your part, and it's for a reason, which we'll talk about more in a little while. Knock, and the door will open. Have you ever walked up to a door and not knock on it? Does anybody come to the door? Absolutely not. Unless I got a ring camera and see you there and saying, hey, what are you doing in my front yard? And they may answer that door in a way you don't want them to answer that door. But when they knock, you're asking permission. And you need to realize that. You got to knock for that door to be open. For opportunities to occur, you got to go after that. You got to go to the door. You got to knock on the door. And that's what prayer does for us. How many have seen this before? Push when you pray. Pray till something happens. Show the Lord how much it means to you. Pray till something happens. And it doesn't say pray till I get what I want. So often that's what we expect. Pray till something happens. I promise you that it will be what you need at the right time. You know, pray with passion. There needs to be time that you have in your prayer life that you have a passionate prayer. Not one of those repeated prayer that you always pray every morning Lord, thank you for this day. Provide me the things that I need. And let me go down the path I need to go to. You know what happens when you start praying like that? It becomes routine. And the Heavenly Father doesn't want to have a routine relationship with you. So you need to pray with passion at times. What examples do we have of that? In Luke, chapter 6, verse 12, it says this. When Jesus went out into the hills to pray, he spent the whole night in prayer to God. You know, when you really look at that verse, he wasn't just having a casual conversation with the Lord. Because you can have that in 5 minutes. Have you ever tried to pray for an hour? Have you ever tried to pray for a long period of time? You know, with my part-time job, it's all the way up in Nashland, so I like that time. Driving down 295, it's a long ride, and me and the Lord have a conversation almost every time, on the way there, on the way back. And He wants someone to have passion in it. Prayers from the heart. Jesus, I can imagine what He was praying about, because there was so much on Jesus at this time, with the disciples and the followers looking for to watch His miracles and for coming there for free food. Tell me that Jesus wasn't getting frustrated with that whole situation. Frustrated with the disciples who not understanding what He's trying to tell them. Frustrated with His followers for not getting what His point across. Frustrating just for them to see the show, the miracles, and the free food. Spending all night long in prayer with God. Talking about all that stuff. Man, the disciples are not quite getting it, Lord. Please help me get them to understand. Because at this point, Jesus is feeling emotions like we are. He's feeling pain. He's tired. He's feeling the aches and pains of being on His feet all day. Just think about what He would be praying about all night long. He's praying about everybody and Himself. Give me the strength to do Your will. He had to have passion in it. Another perfect example of this is the night before He was crucified. He said, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want Your will to be done and not mine." Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. We all know this story. We all know what occurred. If we look back, He asks a few of His disciples, just stay up for me a little bit. Don't fall asleep. He needed their strength. And the only one He had at that time was God. And He was so emotionally involved in this prayer that He sweated blood. We follow Jesus' example. Our prayers should be coming from the heart, emotion. There's times in our lives that we should be going to the Lord. He wants to hear us. I'll give you a perfect example. It happened a few weeks ago. You know, I'm retired now. It's official. I don't get a paycheck. You got to live the month before you get paid. I wish somebody would have told me that. Tom understands. It takes a little while to get that money from the government. But there was so much going on, having Kim quit and having getting ready for a new job if possible. And the position that I was going after that I really, really wanted to, I interviewed for a couple months prior to that. I was told that they had a really good candidate. And that person was really good, better than me, I'll be honest. Because that person did emergency management, where I had a more broad perspective. And they made that selection. So I go to him and I say, "Look, I don't know what you have planned for me." I said, "Retirement's a days away. I'm getting ready to retire. I don't have that job. I'm going to be without money. What am I going to do, Lord? If this wasn't the job, I get it. I understand it, Lord. I appreciate it. But I'm human. I'm worried about the next month. I'm worried about what's getting ready to come. So I'll be honest, I had one of those passionate prayers. Lord, you promised me that you'll take care of things. I'm just reminding you. I'm in need right now, Lord. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. My kids are in need of some stuff. I'm just giving you a reminder of what you promised me. And I'm telling you, it was one of those prayers that I was expressing myself emotionally. Lord, I need to know. You know, we talked about how he speedily, at the right time, I go to my retirement a few days later, awesome retirement. And they those guys and the people at work recognized me well beyond what I deserved that day. If y'all didn't know the story, I went home that day. Unfortunately, my neighbor's house was on fire. And me and Christopher weren't home 5 minutes, just changed out of my dress blues. Went in there, knocked on the neighbor's door, and cars in the front. We worried about it. The neighbor said it ain't there, but she says there are pets inside. I've already called her. She's in panic mode. So me and Christopher kicked in the door and was able to bring that pet out of there and make a difference. The very next day, I'm a super hyped, you know, firefighters, when we have opportunities to kick in doors and break stuff, we enjoy it. You just got to understand a firefighter. So when we got an opportunity to do stuff like that, so I'm super hyped of what just happened, my retirement. I got to kick in the door, still running into burning buildings. And it, to me, that's adrenaline, that excitement. I don't think it can get any better than that. I get called from the chief of Prince George County the next day. Says, hey, are you able to come for a meeting? Yeah. What did I do now? What did I do wrong? He said, no, I'll get back with you in a couple hours. I got to work some things out. So I go to his office, and we were talking about some training issues. Yeah, I want to work on training. He said, that's not why I'm here. We're here to talk about. I'm here to offer you the job that you wanted. The other person turned it down. So I got selected for that position. But I'm telling you, having that passionate prayer. He wants to hear your heart. He don't want to hear that repetition. He wants to hear that heart. So if you're angry that day, it's okay. Tell the Lord. If you're excited that day, tell the Lord. If you're scared that day, show that emotion and tell the Lord. He wants that relationship. That's what you would do with your spouse. You're mad. Spouse catches it all sometimes. That's what the Lord wants to have from you. So don't be afraid to have passion in your prayer. Just imagine Christ on that cross. And he hollered out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Christ is our example to look at. And passionate prayer is one of those things we need to recognize that he had. And that we should not be afraid to use. We need to pray with thanksgiving. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Give thanks when? Always. For what? All things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember how he's blessing us each and every day, no matter what our situation. We need to remember where we get our clothes from. We need to remember where we get our health from. We need to remember where we get our home from. Anything that we have, even the possessions that we may have, like a motorcycle or something we enjoy doing, or fishing, that's given to us by the Lord. And we need to remember we wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for him. We need to remember where all that stuff comes from. So when you pray, always be thankful. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 tells us this. And this is where I struggle, you know. We talked about that just a moment ago. Do not be anxious about anything. You know, I don't worry about myself as much as I worry about my family. So when I get anxious, it's because usually I'm worried about making sure my family is good. Me, I think I could live in a tent. But it's worrying about my family members that hits my anxiety sometimes. But there again, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. What situation? Every situation. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, presenting your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I love that word, transcends. That means God's coming to us. That relationship, to be able to be directly related with God. You know, before in the Old Testament, they didn't have that type of relationship. They didn't have a relationship where they could go straight to the Lord. We do. We're in need. We have free access to our Lord at all times. We were talking about it this morning. The holiness of God. We have the ability to go to the presence of the Holy God. That's what prayer does for us. And what's He going to do for us? He's going to give us all understanding. He will guard our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. That's just amazing. That's within itself the greatest thing to be thankful for. Rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. There you go again. That prayer without ceasing. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. His will is that you're talking to Him all the time. Not here or there. Not getting busy in your life. You all the time. You know, I've learned a long time ago, to be able to get to the big boss, you got to get to the guy who talks in his ear. You ever think about that? To influence somebody that you really want to, I don't care, my big boss, I learned you got to go to the one that talks in his ear, because he's the one that has influence on him. You know, and that's no different here. You want to get to God, you got to talk in Jesus' ear. Jesus talks in His ear. So He intercedes for us. In Romans verse chapter 8, verse 34 tells us this. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. He's right there with God, speaking on your behalf in God's ear. He intercedes for you. And it's a wonderful thing that we have Christ, who is willing to die for us and is right now on the right hand of God interceding for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 tells us this. Therefore, He is able also saves them to uttermost that comes unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession of them. God intercedes for us. That's what He came down on this earth for. He gave up everything. The whole Holy of Holies places to come down here and to be able to intercede for us. You know what He tells God? Lord, He says, Father, He says, I've been there. It's hard. It's hard not to be discouraged. It's hard not to worry. The body hurts. They're tired. He knows all the things that we experience in life. Jesus can tell the Heavenly Father, I'm telling you, from experience, this is difficult for them. I think that's where the mercy and grace comes in, having Jesus there to be able to tell our story. And we should be able to tell His story as well. Because who interceding for Jesus and the Lord now on earth? It's us. He's up there interceding for us. We should be interceding for Him, telling the people the wonderful story of Jesus. We need to think about that. Listen to John 14, 15 through 20. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Let me tell you something about it. Prayer. Everybody prays. Just like that pilot. You don't know if he's a Christian or non-Christian. But the only effective prayer is to his people. That avenue and that path for Christ to intercede for you only comes to his children. That's why our prayers make a difference, like today. Because he's listening to his children. The shepherd knows his sheep. And we need to realize that our prayers make a difference, not only in our lives, but in other lives. You know, I tell my children all the time, you may not be doing what's right now, but I truly believe the only reason you're being blessed is because the Lord's trying to bless me. I pray for each and every one of y'all, and I pray that you're taken care of, and the Lord knows my heart. It's because of His people praying for others. We make the difference. You want a difference in this country? We make the difference. You want a difference in your family life? We make the difference. Actually, Christ makes it. But He hears us. That's something that's promised to us. So if you're not a Christian this morning, you haven't been baptized, these resources are not readily available for you. Those are truly for His inheritance. And sometimes we don't think about that in our lives. I really do think He listens to all, knowing their heart, but have the access that we have only comes to His children. The direct access, the one to go in there and speak to God, the direct access comes to us. We talked about this just a little while ago. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It's because of Christ that we have that avenue of prayer. Which was read earlier, and I want to read that last part once again. In James chapter 5, verse 16. Because I like it how it's put in the NIV version. And it tells us how prayer is powerful and effective. Your prayers when you go to Christ is powerful and effective. And that's what you need to understand. But we also need to know and understand we're all in need of prayer. Every one of us. You know, the story, and I ain't reading it because of time, and I've already gone over my time because I like to speak. The time, you remember the story in Scripture where the peasant was at the throne, at the altar. And the peasant prayed, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving of any of this. I'm in need of you, Lord. And you had the other man standing beside him praying, Lord, thank you for not me being like him. Which one do you think the Lord answered the prayers to? The person who realizes he's in need of prayer. He's in need of prayer. Can I get all of y'all to stand for a moment? You know, I was going to talk about it, and I'm not a very good song leader this morning, so you're going to have to bear with me. But you know, one of the songs that Ray used to love to sing, that I love to hear him sing, it's Me, O Lord, in the Need of Prayer. And just for all that went on this morning, I was going to talk about it, but I think we need to sing it to realize it, that each and every one of us is in need of prayer. Maybe just a verse or two that I can remember off the top of my head, but we need to realize that we, each and every one of us, there's not one person in this room like Ray that is not in the need of prayer. All right. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher nor the deacon, but me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher nor the deacon, but me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the stranger nor the neighbor, but me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the stranger nor the neighbor, but me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. That's what we need to realize. We are the ones in need of prayer, and we become more effective when we realize and understand that we're in that need, that we're able to help others. I don't know where you're at in your life. Only you know where you're at in life. But I'm in need of prayer. Our elders are in need of prayer. All of us are in this need of prayer. So don't hesitate, and please tap into that resource of prayer as much as possible. Make it from the heart. Make it a passionate prayer. Make it a persistent prayer. But have that talk of a relationship with your Heavenly Father. If we can do anything for you, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And I know Wesley is one of our righteous people in this building here, that when he prays and we pray together, we can make a difference in your life. So if there's anything we can do for you, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.